Love Bite.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Insidious Muse.
And I'm Service Slut.
And I'm going to just lay it out. Big fucking disclaimer. In the past hour.
Yeah.
A lot of shit has hit our heads. So we have a...
That's what happens when you're smart and shit. And you just talk about stuff.
Right. we have a lot of... we have ideas, things we're going to talk about. But in all reality, it's just going to turn into a what the fuck episode.
It really is.
So, I'm just going to say it's probably not going to lack for a lot of opinion, which I know is rare for us. But, you know, it might be special.
Do you not want to take any phone calls today? Is that what that is?
Well, I happen to also be in a fairly foul mood. Okay. So there's just a warning.
Okay.
So people can call, and somebody that I might normally just be nice to, I might just be like, shut the fuck up. Don't want to hear it right now. So there's that.
Okay. So call at your own risk. And our number is 800-893-9562.
And apparently, as I've been told in the past a few days, that apparently I'm scary. So, which I disagree.
Okay. But
whatever.
Just so you know.
Not scary enough to make Nick show up on time.
So there's that.
Ever.
Hey, I'm ever. Sorry, girls.
No. In our world, cool, I'm sorry doesn't mean shit.
But it's all the time. So it's okay. We're totally cool with the passive aggressiveness. It's cool. It is what it is.
It's okay.
But it's just, it's a true statement.
Hey, you know how that one time that we spanked Jeremy and we did it in public? We call that public shaming.
Some spankings?
Shit. You won't get away from that, just so you know.
Yeah.
Because we like public shaming.
Yeah.
This is part one of public shaming.
Yeah, no, it's not even close to, this is like a drop of water for the fucking Pacific Ocean that's coming. Just keeping it real. That's a contributing component to my foul mood. We can go into the rest, but that's just keeping it at different point altogether.
Why sometimes it is scary to be on the receiving end of that one.
Just saying. Anyway, so the topic that we were originally going to talk about, which we're still going to talk about.
Yes.
I have all these things that go around in my head, like crazy thoughts in my head. And one of them, this theory that I've had for a very, very long time, is relational dominance and submission. Mm-hmm. And people go, well, what is that? I believe that we as people are relationally dominant or submissive in relation to a person that is near us based upon their level of dominance or submission. And we can sense a person's level of dominance or submission near us. We just know. We kind of just feel. And I think it's very kind of animalistic because animals fall into falling behind the alpha. And then there's an order that all goes all the way back down to an omega. Mm-hmm. Everybody look at your Greek alphabet and know what I'm talking about. It's not religious. It's the Greek alphabet. Anyway. but so the point being.
Oh.
Hey, I brought you flowers because I was late.
I'm totally not buying that, by the way. Totally not buying that.
Hey guys.
That doesn't work for me.
Because I like you guys. She hates being given flowers.
Yep. Really hate it. Anyway.
No.
Moving on.
It's okay. Okay, just leave it.
So this is a tip I'm just going to give for all men out there that don't know it. Don't give flowers to a divorced woman when you've pissed her off. Ever. Don't fucking do it. She has been Pavlovianly conditioned to hate flowers because they've always been given to her by her ex-husband. Just throwing that one out there.
Like we said.
Those are lovely. Anyway, what was I saying? Because now I've forgotten.
Relational DS. Okay.
So I think it's very kind of animalistic in the fact that, you know, people, the animals automatically go, oh, that's the alpha, or there's a fight or whatever. There's this stance and there's this, you look in the eyes and you headbutt or whatever the animal is. We don't do that so much in, you know, human society. It's a little bit more subtle. Sometimes it isn't. It depends on the socioeconomic status. But there is definitively, you can find out where there's an alpha within any group. And generally, you can see, based on the behavior of the people around them, who else relationally is dominant and submissive. You can just figure that out. So I based upon this, the general observation of people that I know, especially in the kinky community, is that you can kind of see that there is relational dominance and submission. And just because somebody is relationally submissive in their personality, you know, compared to somebody else, does not mean that they are a submissive. Which
much
goes
like
into-
a, I'm sorry.
No, go on.
Like the workplace. I mean, you have someone who is the boss man, boss lady, whatever, and you have the people that report into that person. It could be that that person who is your boss, in outside of work, they are not that person. They are more submissive in nature. But when you're at work, they need to lay down the law. They need to, you know, assign duties or whatever the fuck. So to you, that person who is your boss, they are dominant to you. That is the pecking order, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's, it's pre-manufactured. It's not something where you guys met and you decided, hey, you're more dominant than me. You go ahead and you be my boss.
Right.
It's a structure that's already in place.
Yeah, but at the same time, you can go into those big meetings where there's a lot of people in there, and it's although people listen to, let's say, the executive vice president or the CEO because that's their title, but there's always somebody in there that their title doesn't necessarily grant them that kind of authority, and yet people listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
You see that all the time. You see that in social structures with friends and groups. Somebody doesn't necessarily have, you know, it's not always the person with the money or it's not always the person with the status. It can often just be the person with that personality that for whatever reason, people gravitate towards to look at as, you know, there's somebody, for example, I have a very dominant personality, like pretty much in all things. However, there are some people to whom I absolutely would never, ever consider that I'm on their level. Mistress Melissa is a prime example.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure everyone, most people feel that
I would
way.
Never be submissive to her, but I will always say she's the alpha in the given situation. Mm-hmm. Always. Because I'm not stupid. I'm not going to compete with that. Okay, you're the alpha. Cool. Rock it. But so to give people an example, which leads to my next theory, which is an offshoot of this original theory, that, you know, like there's the Kinsey scale of homosexuality and heterosexuality. I believe that there is a scale of dominance and submission. I don't think it's a 7-point. It could be 100-point. It could be 50-point, 20-point, whatever. But it's a sliding scale.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that based upon the person to whom you are discussing anything with, that you are in a relationship with, you are next to, whatever, that your sliding scale moves based upon who they are and what you are. And it's just kind of a sense. It's not necessarily based upon any discussions that you specifically had. It's usually kind of like you get the vibe.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a very ESP thing, whatever. So that's just, that's what I believe to be a truism. I don't know. I could be wrong.
I experience the same thing though. I mean, because most of the time I am submissive, but then there's some times with like vanilla friends or whatever, I tend to be very vocal about how I feel about things. And it's seen as like, I wouldn't say dominance, but it's seen as kind of like just out of character.
Right.
And sometimes I'm like, God damn it. Why can't I be like this all of the time?
Because you're not a dominant.
I'm not. I'm really, really not. But outside of our DS world and outside of kink, it's strange. Like I almost feel like my submission gives me strength to be more assertive in the vanilla world. Does that make sense?
No, that makes sense. I mean, I think it's because you can take ownership situationally.
Yes.
So I've seen you do this in the vanilla world, take ownership situationally, like specifically at work. Like, you know, you're like the organization queen. It's like, yes, this is what I can do. And you're given something, you're like, yes. And you own it and you dom the fucking shit out of that project, that situation, whatever it is, that is now designated as you own it. And that's where, you know, that relationally to that situation, your dominance kind of takes out because that's one of your fortes. So I think, and I don't know, I mean, this is a part of, you know, where I haven't come to the full realization of this thought, but I believe that perhaps part of where we have our own gifts, that's where our dominance takes place. Because mm-hmm. we as people, when we feel that we are good at something, we step up and we're like, I got this. I'm good. It's cool. No. You just step back. I know what I'm doing. Where maybe in any other given situation, you're more inclined to be like, I'm cool. Staying right back here. Don't bug, you know, don't rock the boat or whatever it might be.
I'll go ahead and follow your lead.
Right. Well, you know, it like just depends. And you see it in groups of friends all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do? And everybody's like, well, I don't know. And then somebody says, well, I want to do this. And then everybody's like, oh, okay. Or somebody says, well, no, I want to do this. And then, you know, that's basically where they're butting heads at that point for who's going to control that situation, whether it be predetermined or this is the first moment when they're asserting who is the alpha or who isn't. And again, it can be situational because sometimes, like for me, sometimes I don't give a fucking shit. Sometimes I don't care. Like, especially when I'm dealing with like vanillas or whatever. Give me an example. Thanksgiving. For Thanksgiving, we blended two families and they all, you know, and it was one of those, okay, let's talk about what we're doing. And generally, I'm very kind of laissez-faire, whatever. If I don't really feel invested or it's not something that's that important to me, I'm not going to push my agenda. Whatever. It is what it is. I don't care. And so we're like, well, where are we going to do this? We're going to do it at your house? We're going to do it at my house? We happen to live a block apart, so it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I can carry a turkey a block. But it was one of those, we were just talking and they said, well, you know, we don't really care. Well, nobody cares. So what are we going to do? And so it was like, oh, well, nobody cares. I guess I'm going to have an opinion on this because it's one of those, I really didn't care, but if I needed to have an opinion, okay, I can take the alpha in this. No problem. So I did. Took the full alpha. Showed up with a piece of paper. I said, okay, you're doing this. You're doing this. You're doing this. I'm doing this. Everybody come to my house. Dinner's at this time. And we need to bring this and this. Got it? Excellent. See you then.
Itch.
And it was just done. It was just, no, but it wasn't done like in that way.
Yeah, no, I understand.
But it was just one of those situations where, you know, somebody had to take control or else you're just a bunch of fucking meerkats with your heads up and whatever. Or prairie dogs. Pick an animal.
I prefer prairie dogs.
Welcome to Animal Kingdom. I go to the zoo too much. So that's that. I have nothing else to say now.
It's funny when, I don't know, I mean... It's funny seeing that kind of relational dominance and submission happening with vanilla people. Because being a kinky person, like, you know, come on. How many of us haven't, like, been out at the supermarket and imagined perfect strangers and in ridiculously perverted situations?
Wait, what?
What? Who are we talking about?
Can you give me some details? Because I'm kind of confused now. I don't think I've done that.
Well, wait, hold on.
Unless they piss me off.
Wait, what?
Unless they've pissed me off, and then I think of things like bending them over the cart and spanking them.
Yeah, sure. But, you know...
Choking them, whatever. Uh-huh. But not, like, in a happy way.
No. But... Oh!
I told you, I want to be back in Jeremy's penthouse. I want to have a fucking cigarette.
So bad. Yes, you brought one for me!
I have two. I got one in Boston.
Aha! Yes!
Go on with your shopping cart pervy.
Or seeing a...
What, really? We can smoke cigarettes?
On Sundays, I don't care.
On Sundays we can smoke cigarettes? It's cigarette Sunday? We need an ashtray. All right, go on. I'll fling her. I can find an ashtray.
He's into MacGyver this shit.
Jeremy, I love you.
But, you know, sometimes you see a couple and you wonder, you know, who is the alpha? Who's the one on top? Who's the one?
Who's the alpha?
Just... You don't even want to know what I'm thinking about right now. It's really ridiculous.
What are you thinking about?
Because I think about you, Jeremy, and I wonder, what's the alpha in that situation? I mean, obviously, it's Jeremy because he's the boss man. He is the alpha to all of us in the context of the studio.
Yeah,
we're all his bitches. Let's face it.
Pretty much, yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, I see couples. I see regular romantic couples, and I wonder, oh, okay, you're being all sappy right now and shit, but what happens behind closed doors? What do you do? Who ties up who? And I love trying to figure it out. I know, like, with us, I know who ties up who. I know who fucks who. I know who calls who a worthless slut and things like that. You are, like, committed to making an ashtray, aren't you?
Go on, keep talking. Okay. I'm smoking a cigarette here.
Okay.
When it's all said and done.
All right then.
Go.
I'm trying.
Keep talking. It's radio. It doesn't work if they watch.
I know. I'm sorry. Sometimes I get very distracted by your genius. It's okay. I'm gonna go ahead and do this. Don't worry. It's okay. Thank you though. Thank you.
What are we talking about?
Oh, I'm talking about how I see couples, like regular vanilla, like romantic couples, and I wonder who's the alpha. Not just who's the, well, not even that, not even just who's the top, but like just who, you know, who's the boss of who? And who lets who believe that they're the boss, you know what I mean?
I see it all the time. You know, and it's, You're right, though, because sometimes you can't necessarily see what's behind closed door. I had a really interesting conversation with somebody the other day on Le Kick about, and he's a bisexual switch, and he's discovering that he always feels dominant over women and has just recently discovered that he feels submissive towards men. And that's kind of how his relational dominance / submission seems to be working. And it's the same kind of idea.
I mean, I get really excited about pegging boys. Or, well, recently I've been getting excited about the possibility of fisting a boy. And then I get like super duper uber excited about dressing up a boy as a girl. I don't know if that
you want to dress up Jim as a girl.
Come on, man. Like those hips. Let's just.
He doesn't have hips.
Oh, no. I see hips. When I look at him, I see hips. I do. Pretty face. Just needs some lipstick. Maybe a little bit of glitter.
He would be a gorgeous fucking girl, I will say
A little bit of glitter. And then just.
Glitter?
Yes.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. No, as a goth girl. Oh, yes.
I totally see him as a beach girl.
Really?
Yeah. Well, he's got the tan.
Exactly. But anyways, I don't know that necessarily makes me relationally dominant to men.
I don't think it necessarily makes you relationally dominant, but situationally, absolutely, you're dominant in that moment. Or how can you not be situationally dominant when you're dressing up a man like a girl and then sticking shit in his ass?
And then laughing
at
him?
How is that not situationally dominant? Somehow, because I'm missing something, I need some information. If it's not.
No. I think you're right. Get a lot of joy out of that. I don't know. Is that how D-types feel when they do things to other people? They just feel joy and like gleefulness?
Yeah. And you feel like, and your mind is like racing a mile a minute and you have like a bajillion different ideas you want to do at once. That's called top space.
I don't think.
You just reject. You believe. See, here's the thing. This is also about beliefs. Beliefs about oneself is you believe that because you are such a submissive person that you can't experience that kind of moment of top. But if you take into consideration my theory of a sliding scale of dominance and submission, you absolutely can be dominant in that experience and can have top space as well.
Situationally.
It doesn't lessen the top space.
Does it? Okay. Taking this theory, though. Does it somehow lessen who I am as a submissive?
I don't believe so, no. I don't believe so.
Because, you know, there's some people out there that have some very hardcore beliefs.
Absolutely.
That, you know, whatever it is, whether it be dominance or submission, that is very, like, ingrained in you. And if you're a true submissive or you're a true dominant, then you don't have those moments where you go up and down on that scale.
I believe that that is a defense mechanism. I believe that it takes a long time to accept that you are a dominant or a submissive. It takes a long time to go through kinky puberty and kinky adolescence and to get to kinky adulthood, whatever. And therefore, once you've gone through that struggle, that acceptance, to break down and have to accept that it is a journey that never ends is terrifying. And it really, really is. To believe that I am this D type or I am this S type and I can't be that other for whatever reason, it puts your whole world into turmoil. You know, what does that make me? Does that make me a switch? Why? Why do you have to label yourself? Why do you have to do that? Why? I mean, if that's what you want to be, if you want to be a switch, then fine. It doesn't make you less of whatever it was before. But the problem is there's a sense of pride that people affiliate with whatever these words are. And therefore, it becomes incredibly important to remain true to it, whatever that is, whatever they have deemed it to be true. And the problem is that you're fucking up their belief systems. You're telling somebody God doesn't exist when they're staunchly religious. And that is really difficult to hear. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's even worse when they already have deep down a kernel of doubt. That's the challenge. You know,
Yeah. I take a lot of pride in identifying as a service submissive.
Yes.
Because I'm good at the cleaning. I'm good. And on top of that,
When you're not rushing.
I don't clean. Well, yeah, when I'm not rushing. I'll clean it.
I know you will. I know you will. I mean, I know you will. I'll shove your face in it and make you clean it. I know you will.
Let's do that. Let's do all of that. Let's do that. Let's do that.
Don't, because the next thing is you're looking it up. So you don't want to go there. See what I'm saying? Don't poke the dominant.
So
carry on.
Okay. So I was trying to say, and I'm really trying to get back on track now.
We warned everybody.
All of the other things.
We had a disclaimer.
I do have a lot of pride in that. I'm very proud of it because I don't like cleaning for other people. Fucking hate cleaning in general.
You don't even clean for yourself.
I don't. But that's another thing. I think that's a separate issue though, to be honest.
Cobbler shoes.
Yeah, that. But you know, when I think about there's this factor of men. And when it gets thrown in there, and yeah, I get a lot of joy out of, you know, thinking about doing bad things to boys, or what, especially when you do bad things to boys, I'm like, yes, do all of the bad things. And that sometimes can be really confusing for me. Because aside from identifying as a service sub, I identify as a lesbian. What the fuck is this obsession that I have with men? And what does that mean? So, and I'm saying this to illustrate your point. Is that I have had and continue to have some pretty strong beliefs about what it means to identify as some of these things. And then when I see this pretty boy that was there on Friday, and I think, man.
He was the prettiest boy there.
He really was. And everybody, well, you were playing with him, but everybody was like, oh, she's playing with the pretty boy.
Why does she always get the pretty boy?
And so then I start having these thoughts and I start like getting really excited about it. There is a part of me that deep inside that's like, wait. Don't get excited about that. What the fuck are you doing? You should not be excited about that. And so then when this excitement takes hold and it's going and suddenly it has a fucking life of its own, I do get really scared. Because how do I, you know, I mean, and the thing is, it's been a process for me. I mean, I have not, this is not something where I'm just barely dealing with it. This has been long-term. You know,
exactly. It usually is.
Yeah.
But it's always very internal.
Yes.
Because you don't share these thoughts with people because these are, you know, these are thoughts you don't share.
Exactly. You know,
and what are you going to go to a therapist? Come on. Laughable.
And being able to admit that I don't generally like cleaning for just in general. I don't like cleaning, but I do it for you. I do it, as I said earlier today, because that's how I express my devotion to you. But, you know, these other factors of, you know, boys and then other, you know, kind of darkish things that I've told you that I've kind of feel like I might be desiring, it doesn't make any of that less. And that's taken me time to really be okay with that.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything bad. It doesn't have to mean anything bad. It doesn't have to mean anything good. It doesn't have to mean shit.
Right. It does. It means whatever you want it to mean. It doesn't have to mean what other people tell you it means. And that's the biggest point. And that's the challenge, is that we are constantly bombarded by other people's opinions. You people out there are bombarded by our opinions right now. And you don't have to believe what we believe.
Bombardment.
You can believe what you believe. What is deep, and you know, and I tell people this a lot. Listen to your gut. You know, there's fear, there's doubt, there's all of that. But at some point, how do you feel about it? Are you comfortable with that experience? Are you comfortable with going into those moments of whether it's relationally dominant or relationally submissive or whatever? You know, listen to your gut. Listen. But you know what? We're going to take a teeny tiny break. They're doing this thing. I don't know.
Because guess what? There's other shows
and we're not shiny anymore.
We're not special.
That's okay. Let's just take a break. We'll be back.
What's up? Eldrick Bone coming here from in the sports booth, talking MMA, NFL, MLB, soccer, all the major sports going on right now, straight to you. Skid Row Studios, check us out on Sundays from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Time.
every nerdy subject you want to talk about. Star Wars, Star Trek, fucking Knight Rider. We'll do it. Wait, can we swear in these?
Do whatever you want.
Angry Dorks Podcast. It's the Angry Dorks Show. You can listen live and comment along with us. You can be part of the show. It's Mondays, every Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And also, you can call in. You can actually call us. You can be on the show, your beautiful voice, and roll a D20 for fun, resounding in the ears of 10,000 dorks. Is that 30, true?
He said
no,
37.
No, we have 700.
It's like Clint Eastwood. They're just going to say, okay, go ahead.
Clint Eastwood.
He doesn't say action.
Yeah, he says, fuck you to a chair.
Damn, we're like the 700
shit together, man.
We're like
you're rated everything but this. Now, get your
on
shit
some
together.
Kind of Filipino drugs. All right, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
You're going last. Lupia have speed in it.
Up next, we've got Judy. Judy coming to the stage.
Was that it? That was disturbing on a lot of levels. It was really disturbing on a lot of levels.
You would hate it.
So the first guy, he's got to have a huge cock. I'm just saying that. And then the second people, okay, I love that you guys did a promo. It was hilarious. But can you only have one song in the background? Because it was kind of driving me crazy. Just going to break it down right now. That's it. That's all I have to say about that.
We love the other hosts. We love them all.
Especially if that guy has a really huge cock.
They are all very kind to people.
They really are fantastic people.
You know what? We asked last weekend if we were going to have a Skid Row's holiday party. And I'm just saying that should happen. I'd like to see those people again.
I want to be on Awkward Conversations really, really bad. Yeah. And Bad Advice. Those sound like hilarious.
Yeah.
I also want Fawner to be on Bad Advice.
Fuck yes!
Right? She'd
Let's
be fucking hilarious.
Them. Oh, we got to hook them
well,
up.
Well, I want to talk to Drew, and I want Drew on next week. He doesn't know this, but I'd like him to be on next week. Anyway, so we're back. And we're talking about shit. What were we talking about?
We were talking about...
Now I'm all distracted. See, here's the problem. Now I'm looking at my phone. I had a minute to look at my phone. I got to respond to people. What the fuck? relationally. And that internal struggle. So I have had a fascination with switches.
Yeah.
A fascination with them.
Fucking greedy bastards.
Well, you know. but it's like, you know, I'm constantly like, and how do you do that? And how do you feel in those moments? You know, and it's really taken me a long time to wrap my head around kind of understanding it. And there are several things that I know I'll never really kind of be able to absorb in the understanding level, but I'll be able to kind of, you know, intellectually understand. So I can intellectually understand switches, that they can do these and they can relationally within the moment submit or dominate depending on the person, the scene, the blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. As far as absorbing it into me, you know, it's harder for me to kind of understand it on an internal level. Are you playing with your boobs?
I'm not playing with my boobs. It's just that I was adjusting my breasts in my bra, and then it was like, ow, hey, ow, because they're ouchy.
Oh, because I was abusing them the other night.
Yeah, you were.
All right, cool.
Okay.
But I didn't last night, so.
You didn't?
No, I abused other parts of you.
Yeah.
Mostly your pussy and your ass, but. Whatever. Yeah. That's not the point. Anyway, so it's one of those things where I think people like categories. I mean, human beings in general, we like labels.
It makes it easy. It makes it easy.
Labels
because
make everything easy.
Yeah.
You know, oh, you're a dominant, you're a submissive, you're a switch. Okay, cool. So that's where you are. And it's almost easy to kind of go, oh, you're a switch. Oh, well, of course you're a switch. You want everything. You want all of the things, you know, and I get that, but it's very difficult. I've never met a switch that didn't fall within that kind of sliding rule and relational dominance and submission dependent upon who they were around. I don't think I've ever met one of those. So in any given moment, they're a little bit more or less dominant, dependent upon the situation, dependent upon the people, which I don't think is any different from anybody else. They're just probably a little bit more towards the middle of the sliding ruler. Because they can actually jump from side to side. you know, and experience it and enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? Versus those that can just kind of have that moment where, okay, you're the alpha, I'm stepping back, or I'm the alpha, I'm stepping up, where it's not necessarily one of the situations where it is a topping or bottoming experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's what I have to say about that.
I mean, but I think it, being a switch is kind of enviable, you know?
You kind of get all everything.
Well, yeah. I mean, my comment earlier about them being greedy bastards, it's not so much that it's, oh, hey, look, we have a phone call.
All right.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. I was listening, and you guys were talking about switches, and it was funny. As I was listening and doing my work, it dawned on me that it's very true what you said about switches. Kind of their barometer is really based on their environment. I myself am a switch, and I know if I'm in the presence of a strong female or even a strong male that's doing it the right way, I'll kind of compensate for that. But I realize that I do that in other parts of my life too. If I'm in a situation where a lot of people around me are stressed out or upset, I try to lighten the mood. And then if everyone's kind of a little too happy-go-lucky, I tend to get a little bit emo.
I hate those two happy-go-lucky fuckers.
So you're kind of like the equalizer then.
Yeah, so I guess it's the same thing within the lifestyle. You try to bring some equilibrium to the situation, and I think that's, to me, it makes sense. But in most cases, when I'm in a relationship or I'm engaging someone, it's like you said, because it's not in a clear category, it's troubling for them. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure if it's, but from my perspective, it's a positive. But sometimes I think people view it as, it's a little too shaky, or what am I going to get tomorrow? I think no matter how much people say they want spontaneity, there's a part of them, that flight or fight part, that kind of wants kind of to know what's around the corner, what they're going to get the next day without investing too much. But that's just my theory.
Excellent. Yes. Thank you.
Well, love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Me too.
Did somebody just call in that we don't actually know?
That's what I'm looking at my phone, and I'm like, wait, who is this? Let me see if I have him in my phone.
We've ever gotten a caller from somebody we don't actually know.
That made me feel so good.
I know, it did. And you know what? That was a really good, it was a good
yes.
call, a good point.
Hey now, you person that called.
Whoever you are, we like you.
We like you very much. Thank you for not being stupid.
Thank you for not being stupid. That's our new motto
now. That's horrible.
Thank you for not being
stupid.
We
love all of our listeners, regardless of their intellect.
Yes, we do.
I do. I am very appreciative for every single listener that we have.
No, I am. I love them.
I love them because as much-
We wouldn't be here without them.
We wouldn't.
But outside of that, a lot of times, you know, we get like tweets or messages or whatever from people, and it really helps us, makes us think and realize, okay, what is it that we should explore next, to kind of thing. That was a really great call. Thank you very much. Yeah, you know, I mean, not even just looking at kind of the labels of situations. Like, for example, I bottomed to Eric when we were visiting, when I was stuck in Hurricane fucking Sandy or something.
So weird.
You're like, okay, you're not ready for this.
No. It's not that I'm... Go ahead and then I'll chime in. Go ahead.
No, and it was one of those things where I liked it. It was really enjoyable. And I've discovered, okay, you know, I already know I have a really high pay tolerance and whatever. But it was like, okay, that kind of, I didn't hate it. You know, there were some things that I hated, but there were some things that I didn't. So it's like, okay, that's kind of a good thing to know. And it was one of those things where I actually considered not saying anything to anybody. Because I'm like, well, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this say about me? Oh my God, the mighty dominant has bottomed. Oh my God, she's really
graceful.
You know what? And the funny thing is, you want to know what I heard in my head? I heard every male dom I've ever known saying, you just haven't found the right man to be submissive to. That's what I heard in my head. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. Because I wasn't submissive to him too. It was a topping and bottoming experience. And there's drama involved in that, but we're not going to get into it. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things where I'm not submissive because I went through that moment. You know, it's just like saying there are dominant women out there that say they can't have sex with their subs, their male subs, or whomever, whatever subs they have, because especially if it's a male, female, heterosexual sexual encounter, the male has to be kind of in a more dominant position unless she's on top having sex. And some are like, hey, just fuck me. That's what I want. And there are a lot of female dominants that don't want to have sex because they feel as though it puts them in a submissive role. It's all about the way you look at it. Why is that putting you in a submissive role?
But it's also all about the intent.
Right.
It's a lot about the intent. You know, you can take this, you know, whatever action it is. Let's say, for instance, spanking. You know, you have the act, but then you also have what's going on emotionally and with the energy. What's it, you know, if is there, you can be spanking someone and there can be absolutely no power exchange. There can be no energy even. It could be one of those situations where you walk into a dungeon, it's your very first time, you've never had a spanking, and you see someone that could probably give you that first time experience, and it just happens. Hey, look, this is how it feels. This is how it feels when I spank you with my hand cupped like this. This is what it feels when it's just my fucking open palm and that's it. This is what it would feel if it was harder. This is what it would feel like if it was softer. And I think that, you know, I assume that as the top that does whatever the fuck that act is, I think that with whichever kind of goal that you have in your mind of why you're doing that to someone, that's what makes it. Also, additionally to that, that top cannot, and you said this today, that top can't demand someone's submission.
No.
You can't, even if you are spanking someone thinking to yourself that you are so badass and that this person will be your bitch, guess what? Unless a person wants to be your bitch, it's not going to happen.
Right. I mean, I service top a lot of people. I do. There are just friends that just want a beating. Mm-hmm. And I service top them. And in no moment during that exchange do I expect them to be submissive towards me, whether they are or not submissive. It does not matter to me. It is irrelevant to me. Their level of submission, whether it's relationally submissive or whatever to me, it doesn't matter because it's a service. It's an exchange. It's a moment. And I don't think that it impacts who they are. And I don't even think that impacts who I am. If I'm just service topping, I don't think that makes me less of a dominant. Maybe I am being foolish and I'm being kinder to myself than I deserve. I don't know. But that's just, it's one of those things where it's just, here's my thing and the whole topic. What it is and who you are should be defined by you, nobody else. And if you, in that moment, for whatever reason, are dominant or submissive, situationally, relationally, whatever, that's what it is. That moment can last literally a second, but the moment can be gone and it can be a different situation. And now you're laughing. And now I don't know why.
I'm sorry. Because I'm sorry. Continue.
Well, now I'm distracted.
Don't be distracted.
Too late. I'm distracted. I'm smoking next to flowers. I'm distracted. but it's one of those things where I think that this is constantly a journey and everybody is learning something about themselves in every step. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. I think that you have to be significantly more self-aware to engage in DS than a generic vanilla, because there are so many more components that go into it. You have to have a greater awareness of needs versus wants. You have to have a greater awareness of who you are as a person, of what are your limits. And we talk about limits all the time. And some people like laugh at hard limits. I have no hard limits. You know what? Everybody has hard limits. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's what you should have hard limits. And I used to say, you know, these are my few hard limits. And I have, you know, this generic list of what everybody has as hard limits, you know, scat, children, animals, death, harm, whatever. But the truth is, I mean, if I look at it, my hard limits are a lot. They're harder to define because mine are very psychologically based. Like I'm constantly aware of not pushing, like you, for example. We do a lot of really heavy edge play when it comes to humiliation and degradation, a lot. And I'm constantly assessing you constantly when we're going through these moments, because that to go too far in those areas, that is a significant hard limit for me, because I think that goes into that harm range. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's one of those things where we have to be a little bit more aware. And so if we are more aware, I mean, if we then take this overlay of this concept that I'm talking about, and we start being more aware in all of our exchanges with other people, whether they be vanilla or kinky, I think we're going to start seeing, oh my God, it's right. Relationally, I'm like this towards this person. Relationally, I'm like this towards this person. And the greater thing is, that doesn't necessarily mean it redefines you as a person.
Yes.
That's my thing, is it doesn't redefine you as a person. Now. If you walk around saying you're a domly dom, but you aren't, that's different. Let's not go into self-delusion. There's, you know, again, it's about being aware.
And being humble. God damn it, please be humble. Would it fucking kill you to be humble?
That's really hard.
Humble.
It's really hard.
Is it though? I mean, I'm just saying, and this, I don't think this is not specific to D types or S types. I think that being humble, that's just being a good human. Because outside of the kinky world, I have this equal disdain for people who are not humble. I don't care who the fuck you are. You don't have the right to feel like you are better than someone else. If they allow you to do that, to be that, to feel like you're better than them relationally, okay, that's one thing, because that's consensual. But otherwise, you have no right. Who in the fuck died and made you better than everyone else?
Even relationally. If someone grants you consent, for example, you, I don't think I'm better than you. I think that we are two opposing sides of the same coin. We serve a different purpose to the whole, that is the coin. And it doesn't mean that either side is better or worse, heads or tails, it doesn't matter. But I would not have that half of a coin if you did not give it to me. So for me, I mean, it's... And that's, I mean, even relationally, it still doesn't make somebody better. You know, you can look in the situation and yes, somebody is, you know, the top, but it doesn't necessarily make them better.
Right.
You can be super sub. It doesn't make you better, you know?
Funny thing that you mentioned, the whole super sub thing.
Super sub.
Because today, like this whole day, I was like on this rampage of like reading up on all these threads on FET that I usually don't get a chance to. It made me so happy. God, it made me. I mean, there was like the humiliation stuff that I was looking at, and I was like, fuck yes, let's do all of that. But there was also some other threads that I was reading about where, you know, my service is better than your service, or my submission means more than your submission. And what it came down to was, how much are you willing to sacrifice for your D-type?
That's so stupid.
And it is so stupid.
Why is it a competition?
It is. It should not be a competition, you know? And my thing is like, look, if there are some things that I'm not willing to sacrifice that some other submissive is, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't put either one of us higher than the other. Because you know what it means is that if I'm willing to make certain sacrifices and not make others, there's a reason for that.
Right. Again, back to, it's okay to have limits. Number one. And number two, words are words. You know, even in the vanilla context, people talk about, you know, I would die for you and all that kind of stuff. It's like, that's fantastic that you would say that. But in reality, you know, it would be like a situation, you know, are you really going to prove your love for me by dying? That's not going to work out for anybody. That's foolish.
Right. You know, but, and to be, I guess, a little bit more clear, when I talk about sacrifices that an S type would make, you know, I'm talking about things like, you know, missing out on, you know, an event that you really wanted to go to because instead you're going to go and do something for your D-type that they really need for you to do. Or it could mean something like, fuck, I don't know. I mean, really, 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 really wanting to take the time to polish all of your silver when in actuality you need me to clean your bathroom. That's the real priority. Because I'm fucking fascinated with fucking silver. Anyways, whatever.
I'll get that piece out of the garage and you can polish that, okay?
Yes. Polish all of the things. Or it could, I mean, it can mean a range of things, but you know, and the word sacrifice, I mean, it just, man, it just gets under my skin. Because I feel like it means that you need to give up something that is precious to you. And I mean, I get that, you know, sometimes you there's that whole needs wants thing. Mm-hmm. But I think that when you are in a DS relationship, there has to be this balance, you know, there has to be this, you know,
there should be
absolutely, you know, and I think that if you're thinking about the sacrifices that you are making as an S type, I think you also have to question what things are really important to me. What's vital to me? What am I not willing to sacrifice because it's vital to me, to my existence? For example, I like that I have a job. I love my job. Hey, it is really nice to be doing something that is earning me money.
Go figure, money is nice.
Hey now. But I also really like being at your house and helping out and cleaning and just doing things and just, you know, helping out. But I need a job.
Right. And we had an issue with this. Not a bad issue, but where, you know, there's a one day a week in the middle of the week where you come over after work. And because of your new job hours, it means you're coming back significantly later. So it really cuts down on our mistress and me time.
And then that was very upsetting.
Right. Because that's a need. That yes. M&M time is a need. So, you know, and you were all distraught. You're like, it's never going to happen.
It was. You don't fucking get it because you're on that side of the coin.
But I do get it. And the proof that I get it is I came up with a solution.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Because I get that it's a need. So I came up with a solution so that you can still get M&M time and you can still also do service and you can still have your job. You know, all of that can still work out, you know?
Right.
So it's still, you know, I get it. You don't get to say I don't get it because I'm on this side.
No.
I don't get to say that.
I'm sorry. That's not what I meant.
Submissives.
I'm sorry. There's something really weird going on the computer in front of me and I'm distracted by it, but whatever.
Why? Do we have calls?
No, they're doing something.
Oh, they're
but
playing.
Anyways.
Are they playing Galaga?
Silly. No, but the extreme of that would be a D-type asking their S-type to not work. I want you here all the time serving me. That's like a fucking smorgasbord of arrogance and selfishness, really. I think that if I had, let me rephrase that. If I had the ability to not have to work, if I had resources, if I had money.
Who won the lottery like we were just talking about?
Hell yeah.
The lottery.
Exactly. You know, if that could happen, then yeah, sure. I wouldn't work. I wouldn't work because I love taking care of you. I like doing things for you. I mean, but then you're all like, you're service raping me. And I'm like, yes, I am service raping you. Take it.
I love not letting you do that, by the way. You fucking hate it.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, in a perfect world, fuck yeah, I'd give up my job and I'd be there ready and willing to do whatever the fuck you ask me to do. But that's not a sacrifice that I'm willing to make because no. I can't.
No, I mean, some sacrifices people, I mean, you just can't make. I mean, it doesn't matter. And it boils down to the word sacrifice is going to mean different things to different people. You know, I say this all the time, is that words mean things. And the truth of the matter is they don't necessarily mean the same things to the same people. And so getting down to a mutually agreeable definition is important, in my opinion. Absolutely. Because otherwise, that's how, you know, misunderstandings happen. That's how it can create unnecessary drama, more drama than might already exist, kind of thing. If I had duct tape, this would be like a perfect little ashtray that I would keep here forever. I'm sorry, I was distracted. duct tape does everything.
A little Skid Row ashtray.
Skid Row ashtray. Dude, it's fucking awesome. No, but I mean, that's, I don't know. Anyway, I'm moving on.
This has turned into a what the fuck episode.
No, you know what? I was thinking while you were talking, it has, and yet we have still really stayed within the circle of the overall topic of dominance and submission and within this context of kind of relationally and self-definitions and other people's definitions. And I think that that's really what it boils down to, is this concept of how one defines oneself and how one is defined externally. And we can talk about, you know, intrinsic and extrinsic motivations and all of these kinds of things and get into the psychology of that if you would like, but, you know, that's kind of a detail thing.
This reminded me of what I was going to say when you started with the whole thing about you bottoming.
Okay.
It relates to how other people define you in terms of DS. And I think that, you know, I'm willing to open up and say that that was very difficult to know about, because relationally and in every possible way, you are my D type.
Right.
You know, even when we're just hanging out and not being all like, you know, kinky and shit. Because guess what, people? We're not kinky 24/7.
No.
We wish we were, but that's just not how it works.
When we watched the Hunger Games, we weren't being kinky.
No, we really weren't. And that was really hard because, you know, no. My D-type is having things done to her that, no. Don't you dare taint my D-type. Don't do that. I will cut you. I will cut a bitch. Don't do that, you person. Mm-hmm. And that was really hard because somehow I felt like that meant something about us. Uh-huh. You know, because I there are things that you don't tell me about you or your desires or just in general that you don't tell me. And because that's just how we work. You don't give me all of the information because, as we've figured out before, sometimes giving me all the information can really fuck us up.
Oh, yeah.
It can really, really fuck us up.
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes it's necessary to not know everything and really be it like need to know basis in regards to those things. And this was something where, you know, it really kind of for a minute, it kind of shook my foundation a little bit. And it took a lot for me to not take it as like a slight on our relationship, you know. Mm-hmm. It took a lot for that. And it's strange because now, like, having this conversation and everything, I mean, that was really unfair. That was really unfair to you, because it just proves that no matter which side of the coin that you're on, no matter who the fuck you are, I mean, everyone has needs and wants and whatever the fuck. And just because you are something to someone else, does that mean that you have to sacrifice whatever the fuck it is that you want? I don't think so. It shouldn't be that way.
Right. Well, and that boils down to someone's opinions or thoughts of your label and your definition of yourself. Mm-hmm. You saw that as somehow changing me, thus changing us.
Yeah.
Which, and we had a very similar discussion yesterday about my evolution with this relationship, this other relationship, how, you know, it was somehow impacting you. And I was like, I don't understand. There's nothing that I'm doing with him that is in any way, shape, or form. Has it changed us? What has it done to us? I mean, are we seeing each other less? Are we, what, I'm confused. And it boiled down to a perception, to a belief, to looking at the label. And it's one of those things where it's good to have that conversation. It's good for us to be able to kind of sit down and be like, okay, so we are cool. What? I don't understand. What's going on? Why would you say these words? I'm confused. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, we can get those definitions, those words, that we can come to some common ground to understand what it means and what it looks like and be like, you know, we are at the same place. You were just looking at a different movie. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that, so I think that I get that. And it was difficult for me to go public with that idea. And I knew you'd freak out because that's your MO.
So, I try not to. Okay. I
really? You do?
Respectfully.
Respectfully. You're going to say fuck off? Is that it? With all due respect?
I'm just going to say respectfully. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. Well, we're out of time.
Are we really?
Look at the time.
Yeah, but that's just a fucking guideline.
Well, I'm told that we're the good hosts that always do it on time and blah, blah, blah.
Well, then we will continue to be the good hosts and we will just go ahead.
And next week, we're hopefully going to have a guest. We don't know. We make shit up as we go.
We really do.
We do. Although it is my birthday. next Sunday.
It is.
So I expect happy birthday. I really fucking do. But I'm Insidious Muse.
And I'm Service Slut.
And we're, you know, whatever. Oh, yeah, we've got like a Twitter.
Oh, yes.
We've got a Twitter. And we got a Facebook.
Page.
You know,
mm-hmm.
just look for it. And we got a iTunes and, you know.
Review us, motherfuckers. Review us.
Yeah. And we're talking about some other things to make us a little bit more prominent.
And yeah.
And get our shiny back, goddammit.
We're gonna
get
be shiny.
Fucking shiny back.
Shiny.
Not spit shine, like lube shine. Like I want it like silicone lube, so it's fucking greasy and you can't get it off. That's what I want.
Damn. Dirty thing.
All right, so that's it.